Lord, we worship you.
Worship and honor you, Father. We thank you for honoring us with your tangible presence. As we go into your word, we humble ourselves afresh under your mighty hand. I pray for fresh unction and anointing from heaven. Firstly, upon my heart and my lips, so I will speak as I should, indeed as an oracle of God. Secondly, upon the ears and the hearts of all who will hear me, those who are physically present here, as well as those who will be hearing me remotely, electronically, so that your word will flow freely, Father, from you, through me, to your people, to do an internal and eternal work in all of our hearts, including mine, in particular, to cause our wills to become more humble, minds to be more enlightened with revelation knowledge, emotions to be more tempered and controlled by the power of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. I further pray that as I speak, the power of the Spirit of God be released in great as well as in sufficient measure to back these words and follow them wherever they are heard and released in all the earth. Yes, power that will heal, power that will deliver, power that will break yokes and free men so that they will become doers of these things which they hear and are hearers only. I also pray for mercy to be faithful, that I will deliver the word with precision, redeem the time, and say only what you want me to say. Bring now the treasure of this word, things new and old, as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. And all those in agreement with me, receiving every blessing I mentioned in that prayer in their individual lives, all individually agreed and said, amen. I have a very important message for us. It is a prophetic message, but it is present truth. In other words, it's not prophetic future, it's prophetic now. It's something that is being fulfilled now as we speak. And I have entitled it, Love, the More Excellent Way to Power. In recent times, I've been hearing, I listen to other people because no one has a monopoly of the wisdom of God. And we need one another in the body of Christ. I think one of the biggest problems that occurred in the last move, when I say the last move, that's from 1948 downwards, when there was a healing revival in America. It came after World War II. Kenneth Hagin saw it, prophesied about it. And some other people like Gordon Lindsay, who started the Voice of Healings. And there were a lot of great men who were greatly anointed. There was an outpouring of the power of the Holy Spirit. And many great men like William Branham and Jack Coe and many others, A.A. Allen, Oral Roberts, who many of us know, he's dead now, but, he was in our generation, and great things happened. But alas, alas, after a few years, that revival died out. And in fact, some of the main actors, had to be taken to heaven prematurely because they missed God. And now one of the reasons why I'm preaching this message now is so that what is coming, we will not make the mistakes of our fathers. And one other thing I discovered, I was very young, I was just in my 20s, You know, when I first heard Kenneth Hagin in 1979, you know, I went to America, and I had quite a host of Bible teachers and spiritual fathers I was following. E.W. Kenyon, Kenneth Hagin, Ken Copeland all belonged to what you call the faith camp. Later on, I got to listen to Derek Prince, you know, who's a fantastic, wonderful Bible teacher that God used tremendously. I listened and followed Paul Yonggi Cho, who's also gone home to be the Lord now, you know. And I also, God led me to hear prophetic teachers, S.G. Elton here in Nigeria, then men like Bill Britton and George Warnock. I had the privilege some years ago, about 10, 15 years ago, and I still do up till now. I used to send part of my tithe on a monthly basis to George Warnock. He was still alive. He died some years ago. He would write me a personal letter with his, not typed, with his handwriting, thanking me for sending that money to him, and telling me that he was still, they're still expecting the glory of God. All these men prophesied great and mighty things. Bill Britton, his daughter is still alive. She just sent me a note day before yesterday, because I always send part of my monthly tithe of the tithes to them. So, and she said to me, she said, "Dear Olubi," I'm not reading everything, you know, "thanks so much for supporting this ministry. The money you sent this month, we used it to print so many books and sent it to so many places, you know." And I thanked her. But there was something I noticed. There's a reason why I went through all of that. They didn't listen to each other. That's what I observed in their teachings. You would see Ken Hagin would teach some things, you know, that Derek Prince didn't teach. But Derek Prince would not say those same things. There are some things Derek Prince taught that Ken Hagin didn't say some of those things. And some of the things the kingdom teachers taught that the faith people didn't talk about, you know. At least I didn't hear them say it, you know. And how God had mercy on me, but the grace of God which was with me, was I had the privilege of listening to all of them. Then I now saw the gaps and was able by the grace of God to put things together. So I took what was necessary from the kingdom camp. I took what was necessary from Derek Prince. I took what was necessary from Yonggi Cho. It was Yonggi Cho. Kenneth Hagin taught about praying in tongues 1 hour every day. But it was Yonggi Cho that said you should get up 4:30 in the morning. I learned that from Yonggi Cho as a young Christian. You know, that you need to get up. He had this thing, Prayer Mountain. It's still there in Seoul, South Korea. And had the biggest church in the world. But there were some other areas he didn't listen to some of the other people in. That's why I said no man has a monopoly of God's wisdom. The reason why God put apostles and prophets, pastors and teachers in the church, apostles need apostles. Prophets need prophets. Pastors need other pastors. We need to hear one another, because there are some things you may have and somebody else will have something that will complement what you have and make it better. And you get into pride and foolishness when you don't listen to others. Now, of course, that's with some degree of reservation. You don't listen to everybody, and you don't take everything that you hear hooks, line, and sinker. You know, you have to judge it and make sure it's in line with the word. And then, you know, the bad part of it, because some people say some good things and there's some very terrible things. So you have to make a distinction and all of that. But God had mercy on me and helped me. And so I've come up with this message: love, the more excellent way to power. I'd like you to follow me in your Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And it's the very last verse, verse 31, I believe it is. Before I read it, I want to say, incidentally, this is where we're going to start next week, because I think I've finished communion. I'll just talk, you know, probably just summarize it next week and then go into chapter 12 in our Bible hour, you know. But chapter 12 is one of the most important chapters in the Bible, because it talks about the gifts of the Holy Spirit and, more probably more importantly or just as importantly, the fact that the church is a spiritual body, a spiritual organism. you know, and he talks of all of those things. Now, at the end of that chapter, he now says this, but covet earnestly the best gifts. Yet, show I unto you a more excellent way. Excellent way of what? An excellent way of having all the gifts. I'm having the best gifts. You know, without going into too much theology, you have three categories of gifts. You got the revelation gifts, word of wisdom, word of knowledge, and discerning of spirits. Then you have the power gifts, the gift of special faith, workings of miracles, and the gifts of healings, both in plural. I learned all that from Derek Prince. All that I learned from Derek Prince, you know, because he was a Greek scholar. You know, he spoke many languages, you know. So he said all those things are in plural in the Greek. It's not gift of healings, it's gifts of healings, you know. And then, of course, you have the utterance gifts or the vocal gifts, which are prophecy, diversities of tongues, and interpretations of tongues. Again, it's not one interpretation. Depending on the spiritual level of the person, one person will bring an interpretation, a more mature person will bring a clearer interpretation. You know, I don't want to get into all of that because of time, but he now tells us that there is a more excellent way of getting the power of God in all these gifts of the Spirit, whether they be, you know, revelation gifts, whether they be power gifts, and whether they be utterance gifts. And I will explain as we go along. And that way is the way of love. And so in chapter 13, I'm not going to read everything because of time, but, you know, it's all 13 verses. I'll just summarize what Paul said. He said, even if I speak in tongues, if I don't have love, it's just noise making. He said, if I have prophecy and I don't have love, he says, and I have faith and I can remove mountains, he says, I'm nothing. He says, if I give all my goods to the poor and my body to be burned, that's why good deeds, as good as they are not necessarily a fruit, evidence of the fruit of the Spirit. Many Christians make that mistake. They think, oh, this person gave food to the poor. He did this. You know, there was somebody recently, you know, he's dead now, you know, who used to do a lot of good things. And we say, oh, it must be a man of God. Not necessarily. The Bible says, if I do all of that, if I don't have love, and not just any love, agape, divine love, he said, it profits me nothing. Then he begins to explain, I think I'll read that portion, the characteristics of divine love. How it operates in interpersonal relationships. You know, this is one of the reasons why you know that God has to be three persons. Because to be love, you have to be able to show love to somebody else. And this is wonderful. You find that this is how God has been from eternity. And when he's like creating angels and things, he always related to all his creation with this. Love endures long. You know, the King James says a charity. But if you look at the, let me read from the Amplified. It says, love endures long. I didn't hear you. And he's patient and kind. You see three fruits of the Spirit in that one statement. The first one is long-suffering. The second one is patience. The third one is kindness. All these are in the fruit of the Spirit that Paul listed in Galatians chapter 5, which we're going to be reviewing later on in this message. So the love is actually the fruit of all the fruit of the Spirit. When you combine them together, you get love. Just like white light. For those of us who know a little bit of physics, you don't even have to know physics. When you put white light and you put it through a prism, the prism differentiates the different frequencies of the light. So you will see red, orange, yellow, green, blue, indigo, and violet. These are the components of white light. When you put them together, you get white light. When you separate them, you see them in there. That's how love is. Love is the embodiment of all of the fruit of the Spirit. But when you now differentiate, you now see, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, self-control, and patience. You see all this in this scripture. Love is never envious nor boils over with jealousy. It is not boastful or vainglorious. Love is not proud. So humility is intrinsic in love. It does not display itself haughtily. It is not conceited, arrogant, and inflated with pride, what I just said. It is not rude. It is not unmannerly. Does not act unbecomingly. Love, God's love in us, does not insist on its own rights or its own way. It is not self-seeking. You can't be self-seeking if you are one person. That's why, you see, when Jesus came as the second person of the Godhead to the earth, he didn't tell the Father and the Holy Spirit, ah, we're equal. You know, you cannot, don't tell me that. I'm not going to go to that cross. How can I disgrace myself like that? That's a carnal mind thinking. That's why he didn't want to go, because it was a very shameful death. So he said, if it be possible, he was courteous. Even though he was equal with God, he was courteous. He said, you know, if it be possible, let this come. But if it's not, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. Let's give the Lord Jesus a super clap offering. I want a standing ovation. Give it properly. Give it properly. You don't understand what Jesus did. Sit down. Sit down now. You don't understand what Jesus did. Paul got a revelation of, he said, who though, you know, being equal with God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but took upon himself the form of a servant. It's love. Because that's the character of God. It's not rude. It's not unmannerly. It does not insist. He said, if it be possible. But he didn't insist. He does not insist on his own rights or his own way. He's not self-seeking. He wasn't thinking of himself alone. He was thinking of God the Father, the Holy Spirit, all of us, the plan of redemption. He wasn't thinking about his own convenience, how he was going to be stripped naked on a cross. His own creation would slap him, you know, blindfold him and say, prophesy, who slapped you? He saw all of that in the spirit. That's why he shrinked from it naturally. But he said, nevertheless, that's love in operation. Not self-seeking. It is not touchy or fretful or resentful. It takes no account of the evil done to it. Pays no attention to the suffered wrong. Peter denied him 3 times that night. One of his closest disciples. And he prophesied it. We'll talk about that later on. You know, but he didn't take it against Peter. Immediately he was resurrected. The first person said, go and call Peter. Go and call Peter. He takes no account. He knew what Peter did. You know, we're going to see more of that as God helps us. You know, he does not rejoice at injustice and unrighteousness. But he rejoices when right and true. Even when God has to punish the evil. And he doesn't rejoice in it. God never rejoices in the destruction of anybody, his own creation, or even his enemies. He does it because it has to be done for justice, but he doesn't rejoice in it. He doesn't take joy in, he said, it's in the Bible, you know, somewhere in Jeremiah. He said, I don't have joy in the death of the wicked. He said, what do I want? I want you to repent. I don't want you to die. That's the person God is. You know, some of us, we rejoice when something bad happens to somebody else. We're happy in our heart, even if we don't say it with our mouth. You haven't yet developed the love of God. You develop the love of God, you will notice that even when the person deserves it, you find that God is always looking for a way to reduce the punishment. You're always looking for a way, if he can, to deliver the person. He'll punish the wicked, don't misunderstand me. But it's not something he takes joy in. That's God's character. I've said it so many times. I said it last week. I'm going to repeat it again today. It is not God. It is not love that defines God. It is God who defines love. This is how God is. And he hasn't changed. He hasn't undergone therapy. He's been like this from eternity. Before angels were created. Before men were created. And he's still the same today. He has never changed. Another clap offering for the Lord. Does not rejoice at injustice, unrighteousness, but rejoice when right and truth prevail. Love bears up under anything and everything that comes. Is ever ready to believe the best of every person. Its hopes are faithless under all circumstances. It endures everything without weakening. Love never fails, never fades out or becomes obsolete or comes to an end. Then he talked about prophecy and all of these other things. Let me stop there. I want you to understand that this is the more excellent way to power. Men are always looking for power, both Christian and sinner. But let's concentrate on the Christian now. Christians want power. Everybody wants anointing. Everybody wants power. You know, everyone wants the glory of God. And that's why I'm preaching this message, because of this Feast of Tabernacles that is coming and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit without measure. It is only going to be given to people who are already, one, they've made a decision. Two, the decision is being followed by action. They're already practicing and perfecting the love of God. They have made love the priority of their life. If you're not like that, you're not going to taste it. He will bypass you. Because you can't be trusted. When you get power, you will misuse it. Which, sadly, was what happened to all the other revivals. These great men I spoke about, you know, after some time, pride, you know, came in and covetousness, you know, and all kinds of the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. And so after a while, the revival died out. I noticed something. I've been in this thing now for 43 years. I got born again in 1979. I had the privilege and honor of attending Assemblies of God Church in West London, you know, pastored by Bernard and Ida Porter. Both of them are dead now. They're with the Lord. That church was a very strategic church. I didn't know, of course. I had no idea. You know, God just led me supernaturally there. It happened to be just behind my hostel. I was in a postgraduate hall called Lillian Penson Hall in Sussex Gardens. It's, you know, just behind Paddington train station in London. And just behind the station is the church. I had no idea. When I was filling my forms in Nigeria, I didn't know where it was, but it was God. God arranged so that it would be so close to me, and I'll go to that church. Bernard Porter was one of the officials of the Assemblies of God in the whole of Great Britain. And any time great men of God came to town, he was usually part of the committee that will host them and come. So that church had the privilege of having some of the greatest preachers in the world. Young Echo preached in that church. Kenneth Hagin preached in that church, you know. I think Billy Graham, I'm talking about in the 1950s, early 60s, you know, many of the great men. Oh, Smith Wigglesworth, you know, was a friend and a preacher and a mentor, a spiritual father to the Porters. He used to even live in their house, you know, when it comes to their house. And I remember I took Pastor Wale one time, some years ago, to go and greet Mrs. Porter. And Mrs. Porter went to go and bring out the medicine bottle that Will Smith used to use. He used to put anointing oil inside, and he gave it to them as a souvenir. She kept it all these years, you know. And she would always tell me and, you know, tell us stories about old, great Wigglesworth. What I'm saying is that God, in his infinite mercy and in his kindness, plugged me into a spiritual pedigree I had no idea about. And it was very significant because he had a call and a job for me. And so I heard great stories about these men and some of the great things that they did, in addition to what I also read, you know, in books. And one thing that happened was that all of them died down. By the time I got to England in 1979, there were very few churches in which you would see the gifts of the Spirit in operation. Thank God our church was one. Pastor Porter, Mrs. Porter, and myself, and one or two other elders, we almost regularly had diversities of tongues, interpretations of tongues, and prophecy. It was where I got to see the supernatural. Because I would hear Pastor Porter prophesy under unction about things he didn't even believe when he's in his normal self. And I knew it was God. I'm sure I've told you this story. Well, two things, you know. When I wanted to go to America for Canadian camping, I didn't have money. I had bought my... I didn't have a visa. I didn't have money. I had bought my ticket. You know, it was a special ticket, very cheap for students. But the money for my foreign exchange hadn't come. My visa, and so I couldn't go for my visa. And it was the last day. The Sunday night before I was to travel, one woman who normally doesn't come to church, today I can't remember that woman. She was in one corner of the church. So just as Pastor Potter was about to close the service, she just got up. And she gave, in Assemblies of God, we call it, she gave an utterance in tongues. We call it a message in tongues. And Pastor Potter now interpreted. Don't be afraid. I'm the one who is sending you. I will provide it. You know, be strong and of a good courage. Go. I knew it was word for me. So I knew I was going to America. And you know what? Within 24 hours, to cut a long story short, God provided the money. I was able to go. I actually missed my flight. That flight, a special ticket. You know, I had to go all the way to the American embassy. Somebody gave me some money. So I got the visa. It wasn't like today. It was so easy in those days. You know, they said, where are you? I showed my ID card. I was from Imperial College. I was summer holidays and I was just going for a week to America. I took Word of Faith magazine. I can never forget it. You know, and showed the man. American embassy official doesn't know anything about Word of Faith. But I showed him anyway, you know, about Kenneth Hagin camp meeting. And that's where I was going for that. I was a student. I was coming back because I was still doing my project. We'd done our exams, but I was still doing my project. So the man just looked at me and said, oh, it's very hot now in Tulsa. Make sure you have a good time. Bam. End of story. That's how I got the visa. You know, I rushed back to Heathrow. When I got to Heathrow, the plane had gone. So they said, I special ticket, you've missed it and all of that. I said, please, can I see a supervisor? They said, wait here. So one elderly man, it was TWA. You know, they've scrapped it now. You know, Transworld Airlines. So one elderly man, you know, white hair, very nice man. I just approached him. They said, he's the boss, you know, he's the overall supervisor who can give. So I just approached him. I said, my name is Olubi Johnson. I'm a student from Imperial College, my postgraduate. I just want to go for this. I missed the plane because I didn't have money, but I've got my visa and I just looked at me and said, young man, come tomorrow, I'll put you on the plane. Endorse my ticket. Prophetic word. But I noticed something. I'm going somewhere. But by the time I came to Nigeria, I didn't see too much of that. There was a little bit of it. I must be frank. IVCU, in those days, usually you would get some prophecy, tongues, interpretation, to some degree. We had more of prophecy than tongues and interpretation, but we had it to some degree. You know? And as I went around with Brother Emiko to say to everybody, I noticed that most of the so-called full gospel, there were no gifts of the Spirit. It wasn't like what I was used to in London. It was, you know, you could hardly, you know, a lot of it was just, then as the years went by, that was 1980, 81, 82, 83, 84. You know what I noticed? The manifestation of gifts of the Spirit just reduced. You hardly, ask the average Christian today. In many of these churches, they've never seen the gifts of the Spirit in operation. Even when they say, is there all this fake word of wisdom, fake word of knowledge to make money? So they're used to the corrupted thing. And the reason is not far-fetched. The reason is this. God withdrew because the church did not emphasize the development of character. So what happened was that many of the gifts of the Spirit had become corrupted. But a new move is coming. And we got to get it right this time. And that is why love has now become it's now become God's prerequisite for this move that is coming. If you don't develop love, you're not going to be a part of it. You'll be a beneficiary, you'll be a spectator, but you will not be a participator. And that's why I said it is the more excellent way. And as I met him, I said, more excellent. It means that there are some other ways. And the Lord now spoke to me. He said, you can get the power of God by fasting and prayer. And our people believe in that a lot. You know, especially dry. Have you heard of dry fast? Biri biri. You know, no food, no water. You know, I'll tell you, you know, I remember one book I saw. It was many, many years ago. It was by some funny guy. You know, the guy went into error and all of that. You know, he said, fasting and prayer, God's atomic weapon. And it's not, what he said was not untrue. Jesus said, this kind cannot come out except by fasting and prayer. But I want to tell you, I speak as a prophet, I you know, with a prophetic anointing and apostolic. I'm telling you that if you do fasting and prayer and you don't include love, you're not going anywhere. Yeah, one amen. Oh, yeah. You know, that's why it is the more excellent way. The other ways will bring some power. If you do a lot of fasting and prayer, you will get power. But you can get power and not have love. The Babalola revival that took place here in Elisha and the environs in the 1930s. That was around the same time God sent S.G. Elton to Nigeria from England. S.G. Elton came here in 1937. Mama Elton, who was 88 years old, just last week, I went to Elisha to go and greet her, you know, was only 3 years old when she came with her parents. This is 1937. She was born in 1934. And Pa Elton came into the middle of that Babalola revival. And there was a lot of miracles and power, and they used to use, you know, this water. They pray over the water, and if you drink the water, you know, omiadua, you know, and the miracles happened. But that revival didn't last. It died out because it was not obtained by the more excellent way. Yes, fasting and prayer is very important. I fast and I pray. But I have learned, and I'm still learning, that if you do not include love, you will not get access, watch this, to the power of the Spirit without measure. You will have access to some limited amount of power, you know, but and then it won't last if you don't develop love. And sadly and regrettably, majority of the church has not emphasized the power of God. What happened with Babalola's revival was not unique to it. The same thing happened in the revival I spoke about in America after World War II. The voice of healings, that revival petered out. Then there was a charismatic move. It came up and it went down. Then there was the Word of Faith movement in the 1970s. It came up and it went down. All the moves of the Spirit up till today as I am talking have always had ebbs and flows. They will come up and they will go down because the more excellent way was not emphasized. It will not happen with this revival. Because the Spirit without measure is only going to be given to those who have, I said it before, I'm going to repeat it, who have made the decision, number one. Then number two, it's not enough to make a decision. Sincerity is good, but I want to see the proof of it. You know, and have started practicing, perfecting the love of God in their lives. And I practice it to a degree, so that God knows they're serious. Then God will give them the bold anointing at first and watch you. If you're faithful and you continue, it will increase. If you're not faithful, it will be taken. It's not yours anyway. It was borrowed. I'm telling you what's going to happen. Hence, this prophetic present truth message, love, the more excellent way to power. So all the revivals that we've had in the from 1948 up till now, you know that I've had in that happened in the church, they've all gone up and down. Up and down. Because character was not developed. So many of the guys who carried the anointing and great anointings, you know, like Samson of old, like Balaam of old. You know, I preached recently on Balaam. Balaam was not a false prophet at first. He was a genuine prophet of God. But his prophetic gift became corrupted because of covetousness. Samson was anointed of God. He had a great anointing on him. Killed thousands of Philistines. But he didn't develop his character, you know. And so the anointing left him, and the Philistines captured him, plucked his two eyes out. He repented, and his hairs are growing back, and he killed Philistines and died, and never fulfilled the fullness of his destiny. That is not going to happen again. If you don't start perfecting the love of God, you will not taste of this anointing. You will see it, you might benefit from it, you might be healed or delivered, get some blessing, but you will not carry it. Now, having said that, is anybody still on my side? If you are, give me a wave offering, and then give the Lord a clap offering. Only perfect love can be trusted. And I wrote it in capitals. I wrote all this down as the Holy Spirit was giving it to me at home. Without measure, not to abuse like the Lord Jesus. I'm just going to fly through these very, very quickly. You know, Lord Jesus, James and John said, call fire from heaven. Jesus said, you don't know what spirit you have. Spirit of love. Man, Son of Man did not come to destroy men. He came to save them. It's true, they snubbed Jesus. Just like Nabal snubbed David. Because his face was set to go to Jerusalem. So they didn't allow him to come to their village. I mean, James and John rightly were indignant. How dare you, don't know who you are talking to. Lord, King of kings and Lord of lords. And he's going to come to your silly village. You deserve to be shouting and happy. You're making them. For Lord, let's call fire from heaven and deal with these people. The sons of thunder. Jesus said, it's not like that. Because Jesus was developed in love. So he had the power, but he didn't misuse it. If you don't develop love, you will not be trusted with that power because you will abuse it. You will either use it for money, you know, or you use it to take advantage of women. So many people have done that in the ministry. You know, they sleep with all the different women. You know, the anointing attracts women. Oh, yeah. And men, you know, it's not just one side, you know, and you know, you become very popular. Everybody wants to mill around you. If you're not developed your character, you will commit immorality. It happened in the 1950s move. Some of those men just kept sleeping with all women and misbehaving and all of that. There was money. There were numbers. There were large following. You know, they were treated like super. Stars, rock stars. Yes, they were greater than rock stars. You know, you come to a meeting, 10,000 people, 15,000 people. You know, man of God will come, word of wisdom, word of knowledge, gifts of healings, all kinds of great things. Women will be milling around them. They will give them money, diamonds, all kinds of wonderful things. But if your character is not developed, you will not be able to handle the temptations that will come from that pinnacle of power that came by the Spirit. The higher you go, the easier it is to fall. And that's why God will first of all rub your nose in the dirt. Humble you. Remove the sin nature. Perfect the love of God. Establish you in love before he raises you. So it doesn't matter how high you go, you will never fall. Second Peter, he says, and to your faith add virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance, to temperance patience, fruit of spirit, to patience godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, to brotherly kindness love. He says, if these things be in you and abound, you will neither be barren or unfruitful in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you do these things, you shall never fall. Give the Lord a clap offering. Give me that scripture. You shall never fall. I think it's verse 9 or verse 10. It's 10. It says, wherefore the rather. Open your mouth, somebody. Wherefore the rather, brethren. Giving some diligence. Giving all diligence, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if, it's conditional, you do these things, what things? The fruit of the Spirit. All the things we've been talking about earlier. Is that you will never fall. So we're not going to fall in this end time. We're going to have, watch this, blow your mind. We're going to have more money, more power, more wisdom, than any of our fathers have ever dreamt of. What is coming is going to be greater than what happened in the New Testament. For the glory of the latter house will be greater than the former house. More than Paul, more than Peter, more than John. I'm going to blaspheme. More than Jesus. You know, he said so. That's why I had the permission to say it. Greater works than this than should you do. Can you believe that? And yet we will not fall. Give the Lord a clap offering. Because we will not even, they will not, God will not even let us taste it if we have not made the decision and we have not started practicing perfecting the love of God. It's not going to happen. It's tight. I find it very instructive, to understand that Jesus had a multitude that were following him. 15,000, 20,000. If you read the accounts, you know it's more than that. Said they came from Tyre and Sidon. If you look at the map, these days when I read my Bible, I have a reference map in my Bible. So I go and check where the map is and begin to see how far Jesus was based in Galilee. You know, people will come from Tyre and Sidon and all those places are far to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. But in that multitude, from the accounts we have in the four Gospels, only 70, let's just say 100, about 100, qualified to be able to be trusted with that anointing. And of course, we know Judas fell and lost it. Same thing is going to happen now. There'll be multitudes that are going to come to church. Great revival, but only few. If you don't qualify, even if you're Olubi Johnson's son, even if you're Olubi Johnson's brother, you know, you come to church here, you carry my Bible for me, you will not get it. If you don't develop the love of God. God is not going to, what happened before is not going to happen again. This revival is not going to go up and down. It's going to go up from faith to faith, from strength to strength, from glory to glory until the rapture. Of the increase of his government, there shall be no end. It's going to be like that until Jesus comes. It's not going to be like the other revivals where it started and then it goes down. It's not going to be like that. Because the people who are going to carry this anointing will be people who have made up their minds and have started practicing and are perfecting the law of God. There is no money you can tempt them with. If you order them 1 trillion, they'll tell you, I have more than that by the wisdom of God. Keep it. Nothing. Give them the most beautiful woman in the world, you know, to come and try and seduce them. They will see through you straight and avoid, you know, even the appearance of evil. They will not go near her house. They have been thoroughly taught, thoroughly discipled, thoroughly disciplined. They know all the tricks of the devil. Lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, lust of the pride of life. They avoid all those things like a plague. You will not be able to get them. Satan will not be able to get them. That's why you're listening to this message. So if you develop this thing, what will happen is that your ordinary discernment will become like discerning of spirits. Like Paul when he said, I discern that this trip is going to be with danger. The Holy Ghost didn't appear to him. And after time when he was writing, he said, I don't have the commandment of the Lord, but I receive the mercy of the Lord to be faithful. Like, you know, if you this is how people should behave in marriage. You know, and if a woman is married and her husband dies, she should marry only a Christian, you know, and all of that. He wrote those things, you know, as his opinion. By discernment, and God stamped it as scripture. I find it to be one of the most powerful testimonies of what happens when a man develops his spirit to become like God. His words and God's words become one. It was Paul who said, he said, I, not the Lord, but God put in scripture. God said, your I, not the Lord, is as good as my word, what the Lord said. Hello, somebody. Hallelujah. What a great development. If you develop, and Paul learned this thing, I'm telling you. He learned to develop love. The same thing with John. You know what John said? He said, he that knows God hears us. He used himself as a standard. He was today saying, who do you think you are? You are proud. No, he said, if he that knoweth God heareth us. If he doesn't hear us, he doesn't know God. That's how we become. Become like God. Not God, but like God. Reminds me of that. There's a powerful scripture that's in Zechariah. He says, he that is feeble amongst them will be like David. And the house of David will be like God. Give the Lord a clap offering. Impossible scriptures. Scriptures that the average Christian don't even know is in that Bible. And those who know it don't dare believe it. Give it to me. Zechariah 12, verse 8. Zechariah. In that day shall the Lord defend the inhabitants of Jerusalem. Talking about the place of revelation. And he that is feeble, that is the weakest people in the church will be like David. But the house of David will be as God. Another clap offering. If this doesn't excite you, and if this does not inspire you to be more, to become a more serious Christian, I don't know what else will. It doesn't get better than this. But the key to the whole thing is love. Ordinary faith will be like special faith. You notice that 99% of the miracles Jesus did were by faith. They weren't by gifts of the Spirit. The woman with the issue of blood, by faith. He didn't say, oh, there's a woman here with the issue of blood, you know, word of knowledge, and then gifts of healings. Mm-mm. He didn't even know. The woman just touched him, because spirit without measure, went in, and she was healed instantly. However, Jairus, he didn't have a word of knowledge that there's a man here whose daughter is sick and she's about to die. No, just didn't know. Just got from the boat. And Jairus came to meet him and said, oh, you know, my daughter is at this point of death. You know, come and lay your hands on her and she shall be healed. She said, let's go. When the woman with the issue of blood interrupted, you know, and they came, the messengers came from Jairus and said, ah, don't trouble the master anymore. You know what he said? He said, fear not, only believe. Faith. That ordinary faith produced workings of miracles. Jesus got there. It wasn't word of knowledge. It wasn't gifts of the Spirit. This is how you are going to operate. I'm so excited. I want to see what God, and I want to see the faces of the people on CNN. And yes, and all those who have said there is no God. I want to see what they're going to say when we begin to raise people like Jairus' daughter from the dead. Not by the gifts of the Spirit, by faith. Ordinary faith will be so developed, it will produce the results of special faith. What we just sang this morning, that's why I chose that song today, about David Ingalls. By David Ingalls. Special faith. It will work working the miracle. Jesus was so confident. He said, let's go. He said, fear not, only believe. They got to the house, they were all crying. Jesus said, get these people out. This is Olubi Johnson translation. You know? He said, the girl is not, watch this. Faith that calls what is not as though it is. And it will become. She said, she's not dead, she's sleeping. But she was dead. That's faith. Not gifts of the Spirit. And the Bible says, you know, they laughed. You know, can you see, they're very insincere. People who are crying 1 second, the same people who are laughing the next second. That's how human beings are. Are you anyone? In our language, that means, you know, they're people of the world and they're not sincere. They were supposed to be mourning with Jairus. When somebody now said that, you know, instead of being happy for Jairus, they said that they laughed. I thought you were mourning. Shows you the duplicity and the hypocrisy of so-called human sympathy. And Jesus got all of them out of the room. Took only James, Peter, and John with the parents. Oh, great miracle. Tabitha, I say unto thee, who is I? I, the resurrection and the life. Glory be to God. Arise. And the Bible says, immediately. That's gift, Holy Spirit. That's not gifts of the Spirit. It's Spirit out measure and operation. So give us something to eat. They said, don't tell those unbelievers outside. Just Jesus moves on. You know, And so many miracles like that. You know, the Bible says if all the miracles he did were written to be written, the books will not be able to, the world will not be able to contain the books. I just gave these as samples. And you know, in I'm not going to go there because of time. You know, Luke 6:56 says, and wherever he went, into country, house, village, he said they will bring out, you know, and virtue went out of him and healed them all. That's the spirit without measure in operation. That's what's coming. Can you imagine hearing about it? You walk through Songo and everybody gets healed. Somebody say, ha. Say, God help my unbelief. you know, because we haven't seen this thing for 2,000 years. Some people don't believe it's possible. But that's what's coming. Now, let's get to the nitty-gritty part. In another 15, 20 minutes, I'll try and finish. You know, your ordinary speech will be like prophecy. You won't say, thus said the Lord. It will just be the Lord. You know, people prophesy, thus said the Lord, thus said the Lord. You won't need to say that. When you just say it, it's thus said the Lord. You know what Peter, you know what Jesus told Peter? He said, tonight, there was no thus said the Lord. He said, tonight, you will deny me 3 times. And it came to pass. Why? Because it was God speaking through Jesus. It will be God speaking through you. So even when you're just talking, it's God speaking through you. Because you have inherited the spirit without measure. Am I talking to anybody here? How many people want this? If you really want it, give me a super wave offering. Then give the Lord a clap offering. Then put your hand down. No, no, sit down, sit down. Then look at your neighbor and say, then listen to what pastor is about to say now. I caught you now. Now, how? There is only one way. There are no two ways. To develop the love of, to perfect the love of God in your life. We looked at it last week, but today I'm going to go into some, I'm going to do some practical things. Because, see, we've written all our books, you know, we've upgraded some of them, some of the confessions and prayers and all of that. So I advise you, if you bought any of our books, the three of them in particular, quickly put them on the screen. Bimbo, quickly, cut to the books now. Yes, you need to get this one, Perfecting the Love of God in Your Life. Then you need to get Keeping Yourself in the Love of God, the smaller one. Then you need to get Practical Guide to Prayer. All of them are important. But so all these confessions I'm going to give you now are inside these three books. Some of them are inside Keeping Yourself in the Love of God. Some of them are inside Perfecting the Love of God. Some of them are inside Practical Guide to Prayer. Now, there are three things. You need the blood. We looked at this last week, so I'm not going to go through all of that scripture again. You need the word and you need the spirit. You cannot perfect the love of God without those three things. It's not going to happen. Because of the sin nature that is intrinsic in the soul and in the flesh. The thing that removes the sins, watch this. Everyone say sin and sins. Sins are actions, things that you do. Sin is a substance, is what you have. I'm going to repeat it. Give E.W. Kenyon a super clap offering. I cannot thank God enough for that man and what he wrote in his books. He said, it is the sin problem. He said, we're trying to solve the sins problem without solving the sin problem. Sin is a noun. Sins are verbs. They're things you do. Because of sin, you commit sins. The thing that will remove the blockage that arises because of sins is the blood of Jesus. Then sin, you now remove that one by the life of God and the power of the Holy Spirit, where you have your bodies washed with pure water. Having therefore these promises, let the blood, let us cleanse ourselves. The blood of Jesus will not cleanse sins. Sin, it will cleanse sins. It is the word and the spirit and intercession that remove sin. Oh, what I just said just went over the head of so many people. I'll repeat it. The blood of Jesus Christ will remove the block that comes by sins, something you did. But the life of God, through the word of God, I'm praying in the spirit, especially tongues and groaning and travail. I preached this some time ago when I'm talking about preparing the glorious church. Like a scrubbing, you know, like having a sponge. You know, if you put water on your body, if your body is dirty, and you don't put soap, and you don't put sponge, the dirt will not go out. You cannot pour water on yourself, and you will not be probably you wouldn't have a proper bath. Some of the dirt will still be there. It is when you take soap and you take sponge that goes into the pores of your skin and removes it. So it is with the sin nature. It is intrinsic inside the soul and inside the body. You need to now use the life of God and intercession and power of the Holy Spirit to evict, to, you know, remove the sin nature. Then watch this. As you remove the sin nature, the frequency and the incidence of sins will just gradually taper out. I know by experience. I've experienced it to a great degree. You know, people are trying to deal with sins without dealing with sin. You've got to deal with them simultaneously. That's why you need the blood, the word, and the spirit. Are you listening to me? So the blood is not enough. It's very important. But you can't just use it. And you know, it's fine and sprinkling the blood on their head and on their scalp and on their... No. It's for your conscience. You need the life of God for that. You need the power of the Holy Spirit for that to deal with the... To clean out the sin. Having therefore these promises, the word. Daily, but let us cleanse ourselves. Okay. Now, we're going to quickly look at some of these prayers and confessions. And we're not going to pray them now. I just want to quickly highlight them and their strategic importance as we close. Number two. Let's do number two first. I've told you what it is. Quickly. That's the one where we deal with, I choose to fear God. Quick. Oh God, pray for them up there. Good. No. I said pray for them. I choose to fear God. I gave you the updated list this morning. I choose to fear this, number three. Number two is I choose to fear God. Yes. Now, I'm not going to pray, but I just want to analyze it. Many people, I give you instructions, they don't obey. You need to go and review all of these things. Go and get those books. If you bought them before, download. You don't have to pay. If you go to Amazon, you go to your, there's a place in your, you know, where it calls your orders and your lists and all of that. You can re-download a more current version of the book. And you don't have to pay for it. Okay? So you can get all of these things. You need to choose the fear of God on a daily basis. It's a question of choice. Proverbs chapter 1, it says, and they did not choose the fear of God. The Bible says Jesus was hurting that he feared. It's a daily choice. You need to humble yourself. The Holy Ghost will not humble you. God will, like Papa Ralph told us many years ago, God will humiliate you to make you humble yourself. But you have to humble yourself. God, watch this, Pastor Wale. God humiliated the prodigal son by allowing him to almost feed on what the pigs were eating. Then he humbled himself. So if you don't humble yourself, God will humiliate you so that you will get to the point where you are ready to humble yourself. Mm-hmm. So avoid that. Just choose the fear of God. So you humble yourself, you know, and then, you know, understand the chastening. I explained this during the Bible study. Chastening does, you know, is God's way of, you know, correcting us, just like we chasten our own children, but not to destroy you. The whole purpose of chastening ultimately is to save you. If you don't listen, it will take you to heaven prematurely, like the boy in Corinth. Deliver him to Satan for the destruction of the flesh that the spirit may be saved. But God doesn't want that. God doesn't want anything like that for you. So be quick to repent, you know, receive mercy, and mercy will triumph over judgment. Next part of it, I added this recently, and I said, you know, I choose to fear God, you know, chastening if I disobey. Then I say, so I am more meek and lowly in heart. Where is that? Quick. Oh my God, have mercy on them. Okay. So I have more. You see, you're humble already, but many of us are already very humble because we've been saying some of these things. But you need to be more humble. And don't stop until you are humble like Jesus. You know, of all the things Jesus could tell us to learn, this is the most important one. You know what he said? Take my yoke upon you and learn of fire, meek and lowly in heart. You need to say daily and then pray in tongues and groanings about it. And that way you're building it into your mind. You build it into your will. You build it into your emotions. And after a while, that's who you are. Next confession is number 3. That's the one on Spirit of Wisdom and Revelation. Number 3. The one on Spirit of Wisdom and Revelation. Quick. I don't have time for rubbish. Say, Father, please give me afresh and increasing. This is a prayer you need to pray every day. And the Holy Spirit deliberately helped me put those words into it. Afresh and increasingly. I've told you my story. That was, you know, I got revelation very early in my Christian life and I got proud. So I stopped praying. I said, I don't need this. People who don't have revelation, I need to pray this prayer. Anyway, God humbled me, you know, and I went back. And since that time till today, I pray this every day. You say, I come to church every Sunday, you hear all this revelation. It's because I'm praying this. Give me afresh the spirit of wisdom, revelation, and knowledge of you, you know. And what I've done here, by the I yet not I, but the grace of God which is me, he's made a compact of all the Pauline prayers, especially the ones that deal with wisdom and revelation. So you see the Ephesians 1 prayer there. You see the Colossians 1 prayer there. You see the Ephesians 4, growing to the fullness of Christ, walking in love, the Philippians 1 prayer. It's all compacted. So you need to pray this prayer daily. And don't repeat it like a parrot. You have to say it from the heart. Jesus said, these people draw near to me with their mouth, but their heart is far from me. You see, these prayers are inspired by the Holy Spirit. They didn't come from Olubi Johnson. They're already in the scripture. All I just did was put them together. Do you understand? They are apostolic prayers that were given to the early apostles to take the church into perfection. We call them Pauline prayers, you know, because they were given primarily to Paul, even though John too had a few here and there. We're going to see that in a minute, you know. But the truth about the matter is that they are apostolic prayers. Now, you can do with these apostolic prayers the same thing the church has done with the Lord's Prayer. Every Christian or nominal Christian can say the Lord's Prayer offhand. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. You just rattle it like a parrot. It doesn't change their lives. You can do the same thing with this. So that's why you have to pray from there. Very critical. Number 4. I love God more. This is the commandment of life and of love. Jesus himself told us to do this. He said, hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one God. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy mind, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength. You need, these are the prayer you pray every 6 hours. I love God. You do 2 commandments. The commandment of life, and then the commandment of love. It was John that gave us that. He said, this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. So the first commandment is to believe on the name to receive life. He said, these things have we written unto you, that you might believe that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. Yes, you have life already, but you need more life every day. Greater measures of life. And then it is from that life you now say, I love God more with all my heart, and I love my brethren and all men, you know, and washing their feet. I'm not going to go into all of that, you know. All the details of how to do that is in that confession. You need to pray this every day, and for this particular prayer, every 6 hours, to allow the love of God. You become soaked, you become established in the love of God. You love God with all your heart, will, mind, emotion, strength. You love your brethren as Christ loves them. Then you pray in tongues, you know, with growing. So you build love. You build it into your will, your mind, your emotions, your body, your circumstances. And if you keep doing this 6 months, a year, 2 years, 5 years, that's what you become. God has given you, watch this, the privilege to recreate yourself. Isn't it great? If any man be in Christ, a new creature. All things are passed away. He's not giving you, said, now, okay, I've done the hard part. I saved your spirit. You can now use my word and my spirit to save your soul and your body. That's your own part of the covenant. I've done my part. I've saved your spirit. I died on the cross. I shed my blood. I give you life into your spirit. You're born again. Say, now you do your own part. You take my word and you take my spirit and you save your soul and you save your spirit, your body. I didn't hear amen. To overcome all temptations. Okay, next one. Let's jump. Number five. This one deals with the fruit of the spirit. I cannot overemphasize the importance of this. I also call it the whole armor of God. You know, pray this every day. So that, you know, all the different aspects of the fruit of the spirit are being built into your soul and into your body. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering. So you will think, speak, and act more like God as you pray. And in every circumstance, situation, you just find that, you know, as you pray these prayers and these virtues become dominant in your soul and body, you won't be trying to be religious. You will just behave like God. You will think like God. You will speak like God. You will act like God. It is people who have started to do this that are going to be trusted with spirit out measure. If you're not going to be trusted with spirit out measure, it's too risky. You can't be trusted with that kind of power. You will abuse it. You will oppress men. Therefore, it is only those, not those who just say it with their mouth, but those who actually start practicing it and doing it. The next one is, number six. I keep myself in the love of God. This is to protect you against offense. There's going to be plenty of opportunities to be offended. People will do things. People will hurt you. People will betray you and all of that. You keep yourself there, and nothing shall. It's a great peace. Have they who love thy law? Nothing. It is supernatural. If you do not do it by the power of the word and the spirit, you won't be able to do it. Your emotions, your human emotions are too weak. When people hurt you, you will be offended. Some say, I'm not offended, but you see the way they behave, you know they are offended. I won't come to that church anymore. I won't talk to that person anymore. I won't go to that place anymore. I won't have any, no, let them just stay there. I will stay here. I don't want anybody to hurt me. You're still a baby Christian. You need to get to the place where nothing can offend you. Jesus was betrayed by Peter. Well, not betrayal, but he was denied by Peter. Jesus was not offended at all. He prophesied it. He said, you're going to do it. And then after he did it, you know. In fact, Jesus was in the courtyard of the high priest. Then the cock crew, he denied him the first when they were outside. Ah, you are with him. I don't know the man. And one girl said, near the fire. Fact. I don't know the man. You know, I don't know what you're talking about. Then one of the third girls came and said, surely you are one of them. Your speech betrays you. You are also from Galilee. The Bible says he began to curse. Odin the apostle. He began to, in today's language, say, hey, all our magic. You know, the kind of silly things people say. You know, he began to curse and all of that. You know, and say, I don't know the man. And all that. You know, and then the cock crew. Then Jesus looked back. And their eyes became four. Peter was sitting near the people with the fire. So he looked at him like that. He saw Jesus. He said he wept out and wept bitterly. But Jesus didn't hold it against him. When will you become like that? I was expecting an amen. That I will become like that in Jesus' name. Some will say maybe on the millennial reign. You have to become like that. Now. Otherwise, you will not be trusted with the spirit without measure. Because you use it to kill people. Because they didn't allow you to come to their house. Fire! Holy Ghost fire! And our people are already doing it. With spirit with measure, they're already calling fire and burning people and killing them and all of that. Then they'll come and give you spirit without measure. God forbid. They won't give it to you. Number nine. We'll soon be through. And pay. Now, what I did here, I yet not I, but the Spirit of God which was with me, I took 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and I put it into small bits of about four or five confessions. I didn't lump everything together. So the first one is where we all know the scriptures. I endure, I'm patient and long suffering and all of that. So you say that every day. You say it. You see what you say with your man. It says, the word is nigh thee in thy mouth and in thy heart that thou mayest do it. You cannot do these things because they're supernatural without the power of the Holy Spirit through your mouth. Now, you not only make the confession, you also pray in tongues. Next one, quick. I'm not proud. Say again, this is this humility thing which we did before. You see, it's a recurring decimal because pride is intrinsic in the sin nature. So you find there's so many confessions that deal with humility, meekness, I'm not proud, and so on. Next one. I do good to all men, including myself, but I'm not selfish. I don't insist on my own right. That's one of the greatest characteristics of the satanic nature. It always likes to get its own way. Insist. So people, they're always fighting. They're always arguing. They're always quarreling. You see, love is not like that. We shared this on Wednesday. He said, if they take your cloak, he said, let them have your coat. Say, they will strip me of everything I have. No, you don't know God. When you walk in love, God will protect you. I just got a revelation. If you let him take the cloak by not insisting, God will give you 100 cloaks later. You're operating on a superior level. You're not like ordinary men. Ordinary men fight and quarrel about little things. Let him have it. If he wants you to go 2 miles, go away. I go with him too. You know who is going to reward me? Not him, God. So I'm going to walk in love. Because love never fails. Next one. Almost done. I want to spend time on this. This one is very important. Forgiveness. Because you see, most Christians, I forgive people from the heart when they wrong me. Anytime I see them sin, by instantly asking God, this is not the new version. By instantly God, my thinking to cleanse their sins by the blood of Jesus, give life to them. Next one, okay, good. Later, pray for them in tongues, leading them in wisdom without bitterness. But you need to build this into your mind, your will, your emotions, and behave like this. It's not only when people sin against you that's included. It's also when you see them sin. You know what happens in the church, Pastor G? Very unfortunately, when people see people sin, it becomes a topic for gossip. You're killing yourself. The Bible tells you what to do. Remit their sin. Ask life for them. There are three things. It's not just one. You forgive. Then you remit. That's why you use the blood of Jesus Christ to remit. That's why I say, whoever sins, you remit. So you say it with your mouth. I remit my wife's sin. I remit my husband's sin. I remit my child's sin. I remit my pastor's sin. Or whoever it is that offended you. Then I ask life for them, but I don't stop there. Then I pray for them in tongues. Why? Because when I pray for them in tongues, I'm going to edify them. See, when I pray for myself in tongues, I edify myself. When I pray for my brother in tongues, I edify him. So that the body will now begin to edify itself. This is one of the most powerful things God has given us. And what you need to do is say, but I remember what they did. Can you hear that? Do me go in our language. That means that thing really pained me and emotional. You need to deal with it by the Spirit. Where your emotions become controlled by the fruit of the Spirit. So that you can relate to them in wisdom without bitterness. You will get there. You will get there. But it's not going to come by wishful thinking. It's going to come by doing the word. Be ye doers and not hearers only. Next one. Aha! This is another big problem. Worry. How do you stop worrying? Very simply, it's by prayer. When you learn to pray a lot in the Spirit, you will find that whenever thoughts of worry come, you just ask God for mercy. You know, said, but everything by prayer and supplication, which is an ask for mercy, with thanksgiving. Father, I put that problem on you. I know you are working on it, and I thank you for it. Worry will disappear. observe, there's something I put here that's very important. He says, I do not worry about what is after me. I didn't hear you. I cast all my cares and burdens on Jesus. How? By prayer and supplication and thanksgiving with my thoughts. Watch this. Everybody scream it. As I pray in the Spirit. The reason why worry doesn't seem to go away is because people don't pray much in the Spirit. You do. This exercise is done with your thoughts as you are praying in the songs. So as you're praying, you know, and usually that's where the worry comes. You're praying is, and the devil come and tell you, ah, look at this problem. That money hasn't come. I'm going to finish you. You know, that this happened, you know, that one problem with your, you know, your children, problem with this. But if you learn to do this, as you're praying in tongues, you might be praying about other things. You pray for Nigeria. But when that thought just comes, just say, Lord, thank you. I know you're working on it. You know, have mercy in that situation. You know what? The peace of God. Hello, somebody. That passeth all understanding. Through that spiritual exercise, we keep your heart and mind. Okay. We got two more and we're done. Philippians 1:9. All these first ones, they are all in keeping yourself in the love of God. That little blue book. This one now is both in practical guide as well as in perfecting the love of God. Look at Philippians chapter 1 verse 9. There's a reason why this scripture is so important. It's an apostolic prayer given by Paul. It is telling you that your love should abound, but it has to abound in knowledge. In all judgment. The reason why many people don't walk in love is that they don't have the knowledge of God's word. If you don't have knowledge of God's word, you will not have the wisdom of how to walk in love in certain situations. You will walk in the natural. You will walk in the flesh. You will walk, like Paul said, as mere men. That's why you need to pray this prayer. Father, please, let my love abound yet more and more. I have it, but more and more. In present complete knowledge, in all judgment, that is discernment, in all things. So as you pray this, it will become built into you. So when you see a situation, you will think like God. When you want to, you would know how God would think and act in that situation. The last one, and we're done. Now, this is the Ephesian prayer. We taught this some months ago. It comes back. If you're going to get this spirit without measure, this prayer, all of them actually, but this one in particular is compulsory. You must pray this every day. We've taught it in all our, you know, it's even in, you know, on our social media, all the Good Morning Jesus is always there. That you grant me, I didn't hear you. According to the riches of your glory, to be more strengthened with might by your spirit. Where? In my. You need that strength. It's not easy to walk in love, especially when you are emotionally hurt. Strengthened with might by spirit in the inner man. So that Christ, I didn't hear you, will dwell more in my heart. He's not talking about your spirit. He's talking about your mind, your will, and your emotions by faith. So that all those confessions you are making, you know, for love, joy, peace, the power will be behind them. And so Christ, the Christ nature, the Christ character will go into the mind, the will, and the emotions. So it's going to cause you to become more rooted and grounded in love, in your will. You'll be like Jesus. You know, you will love the unlovely. Not by emotion. It's an act of your will. I repeat this, I've said it over the years. Love is not unconditional, it's undeserved. Pastor, in our language, that means you don't know what they did for me. You don't know. That's where strength comes to your will, where you will love not because they deserve it. In fact, that is the very definition of divine love, is undeserved love. You love them when they don't deserve it. But if your will is not strong, you won't do it. Your emotions will swamp your will, and then, you know, you have all these Job advisors and all these other people, other very careful people you surround yourself with. The one will tell you, Shodeni. In our language, that means, are you a fool? Are you going to allow them to just run? You better. You know, and you listen to the devil's counsel. Walk not in the counsel of the ungodly. Strengthen your will so you will walk in love. As you do that, you'll be able to comprehend more in your mind with all saints. What is the breadth, length, depth, and height of the body of Christ? That is, you will understand everybody's level like God in the church. You will know the outer court Christian. You will know the holy place Christian. You will know the most holy place, the kingdom Christian. So when they do things or they say things, it will not hurt you again because you know where they are coming from. Comprehend with all saints. Understand how they think. Understand their level of spirituality. Understand their level of understanding. Then, you know, you can relate to them in love because you can comprehend. And so, I didn't hear you. To know more in my emotions, the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, you see, because this thing is a road map. It begins with strength in the inner man, then, you know, so you become rooted and grounded in love, which is will. Then it affects your mind. Now it affects your emotions. In my emotions, the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, this is a beautiful example that God gave me, you know, from the scriptures. Like Christ showed to the Samaritan woman, in spite of his knowledge of her sin. You know, most people will be resentful towards that woman. Not one, not two, not three, not four. Five! In our language, Yoruba will say, Odimeru. You know, if a woman has one husband or two, you understand. Maruto! Five! And just had that knowledge. But he still walked in love towards her. The love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge. My knowledge of your sins, my knowledge of your infirmities, my knowledge of your shortcomings will not stop me from walking in love towards you. The love of Christ, which is greater than knowledge. And this is the caboose. This is where we're going. That I might ultimately be filled in my body with what? All the fullness of God. This is the spirit without measure. But look at the way to get there. Love. Without love, you're not going to get to that place. Stand to your feet. That I might be filled with all the fullness of God. The life of God made manifest in the mortal flesh. Then you'll be able to heal people like the woman with the issue of blood. You'll be able to raise Jairus' daughter and the son of the widow of Nain. All those things, they want word of knowledge. They want gifts of the Spirit. Just walking in. And then he saw this woman. The woman was crying. She's a widow. And I only saw, people must have been whispering to him. Lord Jesus, you know, that woman. And he was moved with compassion. It was not the woman who called him. Jesus is bullshit. Pastor G, we will get there one day. I said, God, give me this. God, this is real power. Love, the more excellent way to power. Jesus, he goes up and he stops the funeral procession. Will you dare it? He stops the funeral procession. Because he was moved by compassion. The fruit of the Spirit. Holy Ghost. So he said, stop! Put the coffin down. People said, But you know, nobody could talk because they had seen Jairus' daughter. By that time, Jesus had some respect. So everybody was, you know, they respected him. So many people have been healed and all that. Said, put the coffin down. Open it! If that's even enough to destroy the faith of most of us, open it! Young man, I say unto thee, arise. He
He said, and then he delivered him to his mother. And then they kept walking on. That's the thing about Jesus. So that kind of thing is not a big deal. It was part of what happened every day. You will do it. And greater. If you will learn to perfect the love of God. Let's talk to God. Hallelujah. Love divine, all loves excelling.
Love divine, all loves excelling.
Joy of heaven.
Joy of heaven.
To earth come down. Fix in us.
Fix in us. Thy humble dwelling.
All thy faithful mercies. Mercy is crown, Jesus, thou art
all compassion,
pure
unbounded love thou art.
This is us, oh glory to God. Before we take the next stanza, I just want to make a comment. This was written by John Wesley almost 300 years ago. It was prophetic. God gave it to that man. You see, John Wesley preached a second sanctification. He saw this truth afar off, but it wasn't for his time. That, you know, after you get born again, you must be get born again again. That's why they call it second sanctification. This world where someone had deeper life and all people took it, you know, and got into legalism and all that. But there's a truth there. You know, I said this in this minister seminar I went to. Your spirit is born again. Now your soul must be born again. And then your body too must be born again. Yeah, your soul and body are not yet born again. Now get them born again. That's what John Wesley, he saw it by the Spirit. And then he wrote it down in this one. I cannot find a hymn that has better lyrics that explains perfection than this one. And that it is true love. Now let's sing the second stanza. We're going to sing all the three.
Come, Almighty, to deliver.
Look at that. Life.
Receive,
suddenly return.
Suddenly
he's talking about perfection, the coming of the Lord.
And never more
thy temples leave.
Thee we would be always blessed.
Serve thee.
For
a minute, we'll take the third one. Can you see that the key to getting this thing suddenly return, they never leave? It's talking about the permanent anointing, and the key to it is prayer. Pray and praise thee without ceasing. Glory in other words, the way you perfect the love of God is by praying. The Holy Ghost gave it to you. The last verse. This is to the Holy Ghost.
Finish now thy new creation.
Pure and spotless.
Let us see. Thy great salvation.
Perfectly.
Restored in thee,
change. Hallelujah.
Glory into glory, telling fullness. We take our
God.
Deal with us our crowns before.
Oh, hallelujah.
Lost in wonder, love, and praise.
Till we cast.
Till we cast our crowns before thee. Lost in wonder, love, and
put one hand on your heart, raise your other hand to God. I know many of us are already walking in these things. All this is to do is to inspire you and press on. This is coming. This Feast of Tabernacles. How, where, when, I don't know all those details. We don't know the day or the hour, but we certainly know we're in the time and in the season. God, I will perfect this love. I will use the blood, the word, and the spirit. Nothing will offend me. You know, and then pray in tongues, because you can't do it by your power, by yourself. The power of the Holy Spirit. God is going to help you. Say, lost in wonder, love, and praise, till we cast. What crown? The crown of glory. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs, he says that if you will keep the word of God, he says he will deliver a crown of glory. In other words, you will become a spiritual king while you are here on earth. Because you, Jesus was a king. He carried, he had a crown of glory. The Bible says, who we beheld his glory as the glory of the only begotten. He had a crown of glory on him. Not the physical crown, spiritual, is crown of glory. And you carry it everywhere you go. Ah! I will pay any price for this. This is my inheritance. This is your inheritance. Don't sell it for a piece of pottage. Raise that hand. Say, Heavenly Father. Heavenly Father. I thank you for your word. Thank you for showing us the more excellent way to power, to the spirit without measure. Oh God, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. Your word says, it is not of him that runneth, nor of him that willeth, but of God that showeth mercy. Have mercy on me. Vouchsafe me worthy of this high calling. Have mercy on me. Mercy. 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 Not to be destroyed. Mercy. Not to be discouraged. Mercy. To be faithful. Mercy. To ultimately prevail and inherit your glory. In Jesus' name. Neka tolomo shalabriki tofredesk. Father, thank you shalabriki tofred. Father, thank you, Celebrikito Lomo Shalakaro. Lord Jesus, Aprikito Romangar Dolomatufridi, Raka Zofri Dolomo Shaka. Father, thank you, Celebrikosh. Lord Jesus, Aprikito, Lord Holy Ghost, Aprikito Frede. We thank you for your blood, Laprikito Fridingar. We thank you for your life, Celebrikito Frede. We thank you for your power, Naka Shake, Rikito Frede, Lambre. Into our wills, Liprikito Frenes. Into our minds, Laprikito Freningrias. Into our emotions, Rikito Fredesca. Into our bodies, Rikito Frediclomato Fredesca. Into our circumstances, Liprikito Fredesca. Jelepre, Lombrikito Lomasha. Into our regional heavenlies, Raho, Rema, Nonskefre. Insufficient measure, Nera Kataya, Yokoko Frede, Tufre, Lombrikito Skufre, Noska, Ritu Fredis. Nangarask, in Jesus' name. If you need healing, just stretch your hand. If you're at home, stretch it towards your device. Father, we release healing and deliverance power now. For your word says, you sent your word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. We deliver them from fear, oppression, depression, infirmity, and sickness. We say, be thou made whole. In Jesus' name. Amen.